desire to choose one word that describes this time in which we live, what would you choose? Change, chaos, technology? That's probably the best word is stress. That term related to the pressures of life seems to take over joy out of our living. Stress. Whether the headlines in the newspapers, the nightly news broadcasts, the TV coverage of religious disasters, wars, riots, murders, dumb-bust reality shows. We live in a time of stress, and no amount of compose seems to be able to alleviate this colossal headache humankind is experiencing. The Carnegie Foundation reported a breakdown in civility and other disruptive forces undermine traditional academic and social values on our American campuses. All too frequently, words are used as weapons of assault. Racial ethnic slurs are common. So welcome to the histrionics of each media crisis. UCLA historian Paige Smith blamed academic fundamentalism. He claimed it was a result of a pale, passionless kind of learning he called the cult of dullness. Universities today are charged to exclude such ancient and classic human concerns as love, faith, hope, courage, compassion, spirituality, religion, preventing youth from developing a philosophy of life. The American Academy of Arts and Sciences published a report entitled The Heart of the Matter. It called for a renewal of the humanities. 3 out of 4 employers, they reported, wanted schools to place more emphasis on those skills that humanities and social sciences teach. Critical thinking, complex problem solving, written and oral communication. Any of you teachers here know there's a little problem with that written thing. Spelling is somehow off. The machine doesn't answer everything. They call for a creation of what they call the culture core to translate human expertise from one generation to the other. While Alfred North Whitehead observed, the essence of education is that it be a religious education. Why? Simply because religious education is an education that inculcates duty and reverence. So stress. We're overloaded. Wonder why we can't cope. Blood pressure rises, breathing is more rapid, digestive systems, immune systems slow down, muscles become tense. Stressors include mental health problems, physical health, financial strain, crises in marriage, jobs, deaths. And the results vary. Anger, depression, insecure feelings, sadness, fatigue, irritability. My favorite story is one about the teenager who marched into the living room and announced to his family, "I'm leaving home. I have nothing you can do to stop me. I want adventure and beautiful women, and I'm leaving." Well, as he headed to the door, his father leaped up out of his chair and ran toward him. He turned and said, "Dad, you heard what I said. Don't try to stop me." The father retorted, "Who's trying to stop you? I'll go with you." Charlie Brown had a problem. And Lucy says, "As your sister's consulting psychiatrist, I put the blame for her fears on you." "Me?" exclaimed Charlie. "Yes," said Lucy. "Each generation must be able to blame the previous generation for all of its problems. Now, it doesn't solve anything, but it makes some people feel better." The fact of the matter is, isn't that a wonderful phrase? You hear that over. The fact of the matter is, we need to feel better. Amid confusion, fear, anxiety. So Jesus pointed out the absurdity of our anxiety. How silly you are. If the lilies of the field are sustained by divine providence, don't you think God will see to you and your needs? But we turn to heroes and idols. Spider Man, 07, Iron Man, the new Supergirl. Remember when they released Spider Man or Superman? Warner Brothers pulled out all the stops. They hired a big firm called Grayscale Media and Pepperdine University professor Craig Detweiler to promote this mythological savior. They even sent me an outline for a sermon, along with all the other clergy. The director, Zack Snyder, said, "He's a Christ-like figure, a Christian God come to earth to save humankind, Jesus Christ, Superman. The real Christ represents a specific hope, an eternal promise. So one of their critics put it, Hollywood, let Jesus be the Christ, and let the superheroes be mythic. So who is wise and understanding among you? In our moments of stress, when we accept our human condition, we really can't lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and the good that we do, would do, we fail to do. It is then that we are enabled to hear the promise, He died, that you may have life. In our scripture, Jesus is walking on Solomon's porch. It's winter. It's the porch on the east side of the temple. It's called the Porch of Judgment. Each time the king would sit there and listen to vote and decide their fate. So in this setting, he was asked, are you the Messiah? Now Jesus had given lots of reasons, lots of miracles, lots of talk to prove of the power of God. It didn't seem to be enough. The sheep hear his voice, we're told. Remember the scene? Mary. He leads them. They follow. They know his voice. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I have come that they may have life. I lay down my life. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, not many of you have been shepherds. Anybody been a shepherd? No, not a shepherd in a crowd. Okay. Well, we know a great deal about shepherds. You know, they have something to do with sheep. And we have that 100% wolf sign we are used to, or choice of a lamb. But to these shepherds, this story rang true. You see, the sheep hear the voice and know the name. Anybody have a dog? What happens when you call? When he hears or she hears your voice? Come run it, right? They recognize the voice. They come to be cared for, receive oil for their wounds, to be led to safe pasture, to be rescued in trouble. Just like our own pets, they trust. The story echoes memories of Moses and David, the words of Ezekiel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the crippled. I will strengthen the weak, the fat, and the strong. I will watch over. Isaiah, he will feed his like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, gently lead them. God cares for his own. But that's not the end of the story. Paul and the prophet. The end of the story. Jesus said in Matthew, I'm sending you out amid the wolves. Lord, don't you know wolves eat sheep? Jesus sends us out into the wolf country. Think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before King Nebuchadnezzar. Just a few feet from the fiery furnace. And they said, our God is able to deliver us, and we think he will. But if he doesn't deliver us, we will still not bow down to a golden image. Wallace Henley noted, we are sent to bear witness to the nations, to demonstrate the reality of our faith, and perhaps a cross. Last night, Boko Haram torched an entire village in Nigeria, ISIS style. A reporter interviewed some of the families of those 30 slain Egyptian Christians in Libya. We're so proud of them. They were so brave. They refused to renounce Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Bono, the lead singer of U2, put it, I'm holding out that Jesus took my sins on the cross because I know who I am. I hope I don't have to depend on my religiosity. I love that idea of the sacrificial lamb. I love the idea that God says, look, you Cretans, there are certain results in the way we are, selfishness. The point of the death of Christ is that Christ took on the sins of the world so that what we put out does not come back to us. Our sinful nature does not reap an obvious debt. And that's the point. To keep us humble. It's not our own good works that gets us to the gates of heaven. If we could just be a little bit more like Him, the world would be transformed. My friends, we must live as we expect great things from God. For we are God's people. We respond to our appointment, to our call. We live with the wisdom that is from above. That spirit that enables us to be pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy. I've experienced that over these 58 years and the thousands of Presbyterians I've served. Humanist Luthor came from an Ohio prison cell. I'm responsible for myself and all human beings who share this earth with me. And I respect my responsibility to replace darkness with light, hatred with love, suspicion with trust, frustration with patience, fear with understanding, ignorance with knowledge, apathy with action. Would that a humanist creed could be fulfilled without the God and Father of Jesus Christ? Who is wise and understanding among you? You hear His voice? Jesus, at the gate of the sheepfold, with the stacked rocks and the thorns atop, calling from the gate. I stand at the door and knock. Open your hearts, your minds, your wills. Believe and follow. If you need to hear anew the word of hope, hear this. You can trust in God. And Jesus said, trust also. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there on purpose to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's the message of Jesus, a message of love and hope. We follow Him into green pastures in goodness and mercy, and all the days of our lives that dream lives in us and through us. Because we are not a people of stress, but we are a people of abundant life to the end of the age. Let it be so.